Thank you, Brian. Thank you, worship team, too. That was just such a, I don't know, blessed time of worship. And to hear your voices, thank you for your voices. And, of course, the glory goes to the Lord. But it's good to be with God's people. It's good to be back and get to visit with you and share with you. And so just cutting to the chase, I want to tell you what we're going to focus here on the Lord's Supper today. We want to talk about that communion is personal. It's something personal, but it's also relational. So it's just not about you, it's about all of us. And we're going to focus on that aspect of it today. So Jesus, that relational aspect. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 22, verse 14. So I'll give you a couple of seconds to get there. And I want you, if you can, you want to follow along with me on that. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. While you're turning there, I'll give you a little background, just what's happened. You know, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. Judas has just made the deal to betray him with the Pharisees. So in background, Judas has just made that deal. And he's even going to the Lord's Supper knowing that he's made the deal. Jesus knows he's made the deal. He's taken the money. Jesus sent his disciples ahead of him into town, and he said, hey, you're going to find a man with a jug on his head. Follow him. Tell them that, you know, you're looking for the room. You're there to prepare the room. And they would prepare a room. And this was the Passover. And they would have what they call a Passover feast once a year. And I think most of you are familiar with it. But just so for your own background, it was when the Israelites escaped out of Egypt. And the last plague was a plague of death that came on anybody that had not killed a lamb. And they had this meal, but they would take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorpost or up on the header of their doors. And the angel of death would pass over every one of those that had the blood on the doorpost. And it was a sacrificial lamb. It pushed all their sins like back a year. It covered them. And it was symbolic of it. Their sins were that this lamb was pushed this sacrificial lamb, pushed their sins back. So that's kind of the background. Jews celebrated this once a year. And so here we go. Let's look at this passage. This is where we're going to pick it up. Verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood. So we'll stop there. I don't know if you notice this. It's something that I've read before, but I pass over it a little bit. Speaking, I didn't mean to say that's not a pun. Anyway, I missed it. And so anyway, I don't know if you saw that, but it says in the very beginning there, in about verse 17, it says, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And then later on, he breaks the bread, and then he passes out another cup. And he said that this third cup, or the second cup, is the cup of the new covenant, of his blood poured out for us. So what's with this first cup is the question that comes to my mind when I read it. What's with that? So did a little research, and in that Passover meal, in the Jewish Passover meal, they had a number of cups that they would drink that were significant, maybe up to four. And they're not sure what this first cup was, but it was part, that it's mentioned here, but it was part of the Passover. And so it was either the first cup or one of the other ones, but I tend to think it was the first cup, because in that first cup, what they would do is they'd take a cup. It was almost like a pitcher, and they would maybe pass it around. They'd all pour it into their own cups. Because notice he said, divide it among you. And they would all take this cup, and it was almost, if you will, if you don't mind me putting it this way, it was almost like a toast to God. And a toast that they were there, that we all made it for Passover. We're all here safe. The angel of death is going to pass over us. We're included in the kingdom of God. God has chosen us. So it was a cup of inclusion, if you will. It was a cup where they were so thankful. It was a cup of thanks, but it's a cup of rejoicing. And it was like a toast, where they would drink this cup as a community before they started. This is how they started the Passover meal. So what I want us to do today, the first thing I just want to tell you, is that you're welcome here. God has included you. He loves you. He longs for you. And so what I want us to do, we're going to take this first cup today. Now, it's not the sacred cup that we partake of the blood. And you don't have to take two cups every time you do communion from now on. You know, we're not trying to start a new trend here, okay? We're just doing this one time just to try to experience that community, because, again, it's community is relational. And this is a cup of us. And, like, I was so glad to see people I knew here. When I see these faces, you know, my eyes almost start crying, you know. And because there's that strong relation. I'm so glad you're here. So I want us to all come up and just take one cup. And those of you that can't get to a cup, with some of our younger men, make sure that those that can't get a cup, get a cup. So at this time, just come forward and just come and get this cup, all right? And come on up. Everybody's come up. Come up and get one cup. All right? Good. I know this is different. A little bit different. This is not the Lord's Supper cup, all right? This is just a cup. You take it back to your seat. Okay, if anybody can't get one and needs one, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. I think everybody's covered, which is really good. We're good? All right. And I know this is different, so I appreciate your going along with it. But it is biblical. All right. We did pull this from the Bible, all right? I just didn't create this in my own mind. Because you'll notice that there were two cups in this passage, and this is the first cup. So this is what we're going to do. We're toasting the Lord, thanking him for including us, calling us, sticking with us. We're giving thanks for what he's about to do and what he's in this text and what he has done for us. And again, communion is relational. We're toasting each other. We're toasting us as a group, as a family, for being here. And I love seeing you in these seats. I love being here. So here we go, to the Lord and to us. All right. And so that's how Jesus started off the Passover feast, and that's typically how the Jewish people started off the Passover feast, with that great sense of fellowship. All right. So let's continue to read this text and see how relational. Just how relational this text was. So verse 14, let's pick it up. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. That's that first verse. Jesus made all these preparations. Who were with him? The apostles. The apostles were with him. They had lasted all those 3 years. And they had stuck it out, highs and lows, and he stuck with them. And they were together, and they were with one another. That's there. That's important. That's that relational aspect. Let's continue. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So backing up, and that was that cup that we just participated in. That's the cup he was talking about. And he said, did you hear what he said to him? He said, I couldn't wait. I have earnestly desired. I couldn't wait to eat with you in this Passover. Why? Because he's not going to get to do it for a long time. That's what it sounds like. Now, there's a mystery to that. We don't quite understand all of that, but he repeats that twice, that he wasn't going to get to do it for a while. And so this was the last time he was going to get to eat with them. And if you think about it, Passover was a year later. Jesus was going to resurrect and ascend to the Father before that year was up. And in some sense, this was the last Passover that he was going to share with his disciples. And his Jewish followers, the men he had selected to carry on the story. And he says, I long for this. And have you ever felt that? When you know you're not going to see somebody for a while, and you know it's the last time you're going to meet with them or eat with them, and so you know there's just going to be this separation. I feel it with you guys. I knew when I retired, Brian mentioned I retired 8 years ago, and I knew it was going to be a while before I got to see you again. And then every now and then I get to come back, and I love it, but there's no way I can spend as much time with every one of you that I want to, right? But you'll come up, you'll hug me, you'll say, do you remember my name? I've shaved, and you'll look and go, what? Well, who is that? You know, and won't recognize me for a second. I'll scare you a little bit. And even my own grandkids go, Grandpa, what happened? You know, so grow your beard back. And then I know I'm off again. You know, I've got to go back to Tucson where my family is and where we live now. And there's a missing, there's a preciousness about this. And you kind of want to soak it all in and get as much as you can. And I'm sure you have those feelings toward people you love and know that are close to you, that when you see them, you know you're not going to see them for a while. And that's what Jesus felt. This just says it right there. I'm not making that up, am I? That's right there. He said, I earnestly long to have this Passover feast with you. And that's Jesus talking about, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about his disciples. He's talking about you too. Because the scripture says there's going to be a great feast in heaven called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb in Revelation 9. I believe 19:9, and guess what? Jesus can't wait for that feast. He longs for it. He has you in mind sitting there. Maybe it'll start off with that toast. A toast to you, Lord, and a toast to us that we're here. I mean, that we made it, you know. We'll be pinching ourselves, you know. That kind of thing. Jesus longs for it. And then comes this next part that we're more familiar with. And he says in verse 19, and he took the bread, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We picture Jesus taking this loaf, and which he did. He took the loaf of bread, and he broke it, and he passed it to them. And if you remember, even when he gave them that first cup, he said, divide it among you. And that's an interesting word, divided. It's like, take your portion. Take your portion of the cup. Take your portion of the bread. He breaks it. And he said, this is my body that's broken for you. Or in other passages, it said, his body that's broken for you. Here it says, he broke the bread and said, this is my body, take. So, what's going on here that's so relational? Well, the for you part. This is my body. And he took the bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. It's the for you part. So Jesus' body, think about it. This is our fundamental teaching. God became a man. He became a body. He became a person. That's what we believe that everybody else disagrees with. We believe that God took on a body. And in that body, Jesus lived for who? For you and me. You know how parents, you live for your kids, right? When your kids are doing good, you're doing good. When they're doing bad, you're doing bad. You go to work, and you work not just so that you can have pleasure. In fact, once you're a parent, you basically work because you go, wow, I've got this little baby to take care of. I got to feed it. And you go to work, and you work hard every day. And you make sacrifices for your kids. You spend money on your kids that you wouldn't spend on yourself. That's my wife's only weakness. We make a budget for Christmas or for this or for that. And I learned long ago, forget that. Just don't hold her to it because you can't. And that's how it is, right? And that's how Jesus was. He did it for you. And he loves you. And let's just think, you know, when he was a baby for you. And when Herod was trying to kill him and he was on the run and his parents were trying to hide him and had to flee to Egypt, he did that for you. When he began his ministry and denied himself and told people that wanted to follow him, he says, I don't even have a place to lay my head. You want to follow me? You know, he says, the fox have holes and the birds have nests, but I don't have a place to lay my head. He did that for you. He didn't have a girlfriend. He didn't get married. He didn't have children. That was all for you, so he could focus on you. And unlike some people, we think, well, man, to be really holy, I've got to go off and go up to Tibet and just memorize the Gospel of John, you know? Or I've got to go into a monastery. I mean, I don't want to downplay. There's times and places for retreat and reflection. But that's not the life Jesus led. No, he led a life of engagement and suffering. The scripture says he was a man of sorrows, and he went to funerals, and he let the sick touch him, and he touched them and healed them. And he got into arguments with his opponents and the Pharisees, and they tried to kill him a number of times, and he was trying to stall this because he knew he had to die a certain way, and he was dodging death all the time and on the run, and he wouldn't even go because it was just down into some parts of town because it was... parts of Israel, because it was going to be too big of a mess. He was on the move. A life of self-denial. A life of self-sacrifice. For you. That's that bread that he passes out to us. And then he says to us, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. And follow me. And when we take that bread, we take his life. By the way, which is, sometimes we don't realize this, that complete righteous self-sacrificial life is credited to your account. Did you know that? I didn't get that for a long time. It says, he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin became sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. Romans 3 says, we have a righteousness by faith. We get the credit for his righteousness. He lived the perfect life, and he goes, oh, Leroy, the A-plus I got in life, I give to you. There you go, Leroy. Oh, Christina Martinez, here, A-plus, you know. Brandon, A-plus. Ron Spray, you're a great guy. I love you, but I know about you, Ron. But know what? Guess what? I'm giving you an A-plus, buddy. Steve Bader, you don't even want to know about me, right? I'm too embarrassed to think about some of the stuff I've pulled and pull. A plus. That's what you get. So we're going to partake of the bread. So now I want everybody to come up, get the bread and the cup this time, because we're going to partake of both of these. Everybody come on up and make sure some of our older saints get the cup and the bread, and we're going to partake of that. So we have enough, I think. Let's see. Don't anybody be shy. We have enough. And so Jesus said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, verse 20, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you. This cup poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The cup in the new covenant purchased by Jesus' blood for our forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. We want to talk about that cup just for a couple of minutes. And then pray. And this cup, this new covenant, again, relational. Covenants were agreements. They were contractual in a sense. But they were more relational. It was a mutual agreement between two parties. And so again, it's about you. It's about the agreement that Jesus made with you. He said, if you trust in me and you call me Lord and let my Holy Spirit come into your life, start working things out in you. It is a surrender, by the way. It's a surrender to Christ, letting him do a work in us. That's what faith is. He says, if you put your faith in me and surrender yourself to me, even your own efforts, even your good works, if surrender those to me, because again, none of us is good enough. He says, I'll apply my good works to your life, and watch this trick. I'll take your shortcomings, your failings, your sin, all the times you've wronged one another, all the times you've sinned against God. He says, all those times you even sinned against yourself, I'll take all of that. Not only will I apply my righteousness to you, but I'll take all of your scores, all of your grades, all of your F minuses, and I'll apply them to me. And when I apply them to me, it will kill me. Now that's a good deal and a bad deal, right? It's a bad deal for Jesus on the surface. Because again, he who knew no sin became sin. And that sin is what killed him. That's when he cried out, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He was crying that out for us. So we don't have to cry out. And that's the good news, the good deal part of the deal. The good part of the deal is that guess what? We don't have to cry that out because God has not forsaken us. He sent his only begotten Son to die for us and to live for us. And he sends his Holy Spirit to be our present with us. And not only that, Jesus pulled this great trick on Satan because Satan thought he killed him with our sin. But a just God could not condemn an innocent man. And he raised him from the dead. And so it's a good deal on top of a good deal because Jesus knows that he rose from the dead. He's going to raise you from the dead, and we're all going to have dinner together. All right? We're going to have dinner together. Praise the Lord. And that's what we celebrate here today. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that it's about us and about one another, Lord. Thank you that we can be forgiven, and thank you that we can forgive because of what you've done. We celebrate you today, and we remember you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.